All right, let me read you a story. You know, we're in a series called Experiencing God because God wants us to experience him. He wants you to know his presence. He wants you to recognize his voice when he impresses things on your mind, when he's leading you. He wants you to be able to discern that. Listen to, you know, I've been asking everybody to pray the include me prayer. Just wherever you are, with whomever you are, saying, Lord, would you include me in what you're doing? Here's something that a teenage girl wrote me this week. Pastor Kirk, I prayed the include me prayer last night. And the next day at school, I saw a girl sitting by herself. She went to the bathroom, and I was going to wait for her to come back, and she didn't. So I went in and I found her. I saw her in the bathroom looking distant and distraught. And I came to her, and I simply asked if she needed a hug. And she hugged me so tight and just wept. She didn't want to talk. She just said there was so much going on at home with her family. I asked if I could pray for her, and she said yes. And the Lord gave me supernatural, spirit-filled words in that moment, and I got to pray for her and that she would feel loved by God. And I got to share how faithful the Lord has been in my life. She still had a lot going on in her family, and it was in the middle of a school bathroom, but the peace of God was so tangible and real in that moment. I walked her to class and said how much she needed that prayer because she felt hopeless. God is so faithful and will always answer our prayers to be included with him. Man, wouldn't you? I don't know who that teenage girl is. She didn't give me her name. That girl ought to be preaching on stage. You know, I want to follow a girl like that. I want to live a life like, I want to have stories like that of God in the middle of school or in the middle of whatever, just saying, here, I know you got to do your job. I know you got to do your business. I know you got to do your laundry, but here's what's going on right now that I'm doing. Would you come be included? Oh, that is a life worth living. And that's the life that God has for us. You know, God wants us to have stories like that. God speaks to us, but you got to be able to hear it. You know, last week, let me just recap. I told you that the Holy Spirit speaks in three primary ways. The Holy Spirit speaks through, we're going to go to the next screen, through Scripture. It is the infallible, unchangeable Word of God. It's the most reliable prophecy because we know what He says. The Holy Spirit makes it come alive to us. The Holy Spirit also speaks directly to us through impressions in our mind, sometimes through pictures we get, sometimes even through dreams that we dream when we go to the Lord. Lord, is this from you? The Holy Spirit speaks directly to us, and the Holy Spirit speaks through what the Bible calls the body of Christ. It's the believers, the other people who are following Jesus. Because you see, if he speaks to you and he speaks to me, he might be speaking something to you for my encouragement. He loves to speak through the body of Christ. I would call it the church, except I know a lot of you grew up in a religious context where the church is something that hands things down to you, and this amorphous, you know, impersonal institution. But when the Bible speaks of the church, the ecclesia, or the body of Christ, it's talking about believers who follow Jesus, who listen for the Holy Spirit, who know the Word of God, and who are therefore equipped to encourage one another. So these are the three ways that he speaks. And how do you know, though, if you're hearing the Word of God, if what you're hearing, and how do you discern if it's the will of God? We just draw these lines. If what you're reading in Scripture and what you're hearing from the Spirit is confirmed also by what you're hearing with the people of God, you can know you're hearing and discerning the will of the Lord. It's not far off. It's not for the mature. It's not for those who have gone through graduate school. This is for us the day that we put our faith in Jesus Christ. And if you didn't know that, then buckle up, because this is what God has for you. It's going to change the way that you relate to God. I call this spiritual triangulation. It's a way that we discern the will of God. Remember this, though. Having a knowledge of the Bible is not, or having only a knowledge of the Bible is not what we're after. We don't want to just have more knowledge about God and about the Bible. We want to know this God that the Bible speaks about. The Bible is telling us, this is who God is. This is how he feels about you. This is how he operates and relates to people, including us. And so we don't want to just fill our heads up with more information about that. We want to say, God, can I know you like this? Show me who you are. We want to experience the living God described in the Bible. And here's the deal. Whenever we want to know something, as Americans, our tendency is to go to the expert and say, hey, show me how to get this. I mean, when our car is broken, we take it to the mechanic and we say, hey, I'm going to leave it with you. Give me a call when it's fixed. You know, I love to fix cars. Don't bring cars to me. I'm not saying I'm good at it. I just love to work on cars, okay? I got a Sequoia with 338,000 miles on it, and I got a Volvo with 240, okay? So, and they're still running, I think. I love to work on cars. So what do? I go to YouTube because I want to just find out, how do I fix this thing that's broken on my car? But relationships don't work like that. Do you remember, and I'm not going all the way back, but in our series, we've been saying that the only way that we know God is in relationship, the relationship that he defines and describes for us, of a loving parent and a beloved child. Relationships aren't formulaic. So when I say, God wants you to be able to hear his voice, if you say, give me the steps. Well, relationships don't actually work like that. However, there is a passage of scripture, several, but one we're going to focus on today, where God gives us sort of fundamentals, principles for living life. And he says, if you live life this way, you're going to be in a position to hear me. You're going to be in the right place. But the beauty of this relationship with God, just like every marriage or every dating relationship or every friendship, is God wants to relate to you uniquely and personally. Certainly, there's some fundamentals that are common, but he wants to speak to you and love you and for you to know his love personally in a way that is going to be difficult for you to relate to everybody else all the time. So open your Bibles to Romans 12:2, and let me tell you the fundamentals of how we position our lives rightly before God so that we can hear him. If you've heard this verse before, if you've memorized it, then I'm going to ask you to do what I do every time I preach, every time I work on my sermon, and that is to submit all that I already know back to God and say, Lord, would you teach me brand new about what you're saying here? Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. This is my favorite kind of sermon. I'm just going to walk you through this verse. The first phrase, do not conform to the pattern of this world. When the Bible says that, it says, what it means is, do not copy the customs, the behaviors of how the world does things. And remember what the world is, how I define the world? The world is people who are trying to figure out life without following the creator of life. Make sense? When the Bible says don't conform to the pattern of the world, it means don't copy the way of living of people who are trying to figure out life without involving me, the creator of life. Don't live that way. You remember a couple of weeks ago, I told you about the five P's. Let's put those up on the screen. The five P's: pain, power, pleasure, possessions, and the praise of people. I'm actually going to add a sixth P to it. It is, I got a sixth P? P money. I couldn't come up with a P word. And I'm a pastor, and they told me always to use alliteration. So P money, okay? That's how that works, okay? I started the church. I can do it however I want. At least the elders give me that leeway, at least. The five or six P's are sort of the building blocks of life. And our attitude toward these six P's or five P's, our attitude toward them really reveals what we think our purpose is in life, what we think life is all about, because these are sort of the building blocks of life. And when Paul says, the Apostle Paul says, don't conform to the pattern of this world, what he's saying is the world, the people who are trying to live life without following the creator of life, they have a way of using and arranging and valuing these six P's. And it's different from the way that God values them. It's different from the way that God orders them in our life. For instance, God says, Don't take the pain from your past, your shame and your guilt, bring it to me. Don't stuff it down deep. Don't take it out on someone else. Don't harbor bitterness. Don't seek vengeance. That's the way we do it when we don't have any other place to take our pain. Don't go to pornography. Don't go to alcohol. Don't go to another relationship. Those are the things we do when we don't have any place else to take our pain. And God says, but you do have a place. You bring your pain to me. Power, the world says, do is whatever you can to get more influence over people for the sake of building up your own identity. And God says, no. Use your power for my purposes in the world. You use it for that, not what the world does. Pleasure. The world says, go after as much physical pleasure as you can. And God says, whoa, 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 whoa. I made physical pleasure. All that you enjoy, that all came from me. But you have to experience physical pleasure within certain parameters. Otherwise, it will eat you alive. The pursuit of it will eat you alive, consume you. It will destroy your ability to have healthy relationships. This powerful thing called physical pleasure, oh, it's my incredible invention, God says, but it's made to be used within certain parameters. Only there can it blossom and fully bless you. Possessions. The world says, measure yourself by what you've got. And God says, no, no, no. Let me be the source of your identity. Yesterday, Debbie and I, we had a busy week, and our three girls are out of town at a conference together. That's the way we arrange things. And so I take her out on a date. We're driving up I-10, and I'm driving in one of our older cars. I'm passed by a brand new Ferrari with white, the paper plate still on it, and I'm passed by a McLaren. You know what a McLaren P1 is? It's like a $400,000 car. Thank you. See, a guy who works on cars knows cars. I'm passed by those things, and I'm glad somebody's got those things because I love looking at them. I love admiring them. But the Lord says, hey, don't use possessions. Don't use possessions. You better not link your identity to that P1, to that McLaren. More than one has wrecked. Next year, it's going to be last year's model. Enjoy possessions. Enjoy what you've got. But I gave you possessions so that you could share them. We are in this room, no matter what your financial situation is, the fact that you have enough time to sit here and not be out plowing the ground, digging up roots to eat, this means that we are in the top 99%. We're in the top 1% of wealthy people in the world. Why? God says, oh, because I wanted to share my belongings with you, because I want to include you in sharing them with the world. Don't link your identity to possessions. Oh, don't live for the praise of people, God says. They are so up and down. They carry their own fears, their own worries. No, live for my praise. And pamani. Jesus said, and that's a Greek word, pamani, in Matthew chapter 5, the very first message that Jesus ever spoke publicly, he says, oh, don't use your pamani to get things for yourself in this physical world, because you're only going to live here this long. He says, but I'm going to follow me, and I'll show you how to invest it in a way that will convert it into real, literal spiritual treasure in heaven that cannot be taken or destroyed and will never diminish in value. So this is what he's saying to us. Our attitude toward those things reveals what we think our purpose is in life. And God says, follow, don't live the way of the world, follow my way. When we follow his way with regard to these five P's, you know what Jesus calls that? He calls it living life to the fullest. And that's what everybody wants. It's what the world wants. It's what people who are ignoring God want. We're trying to find life to the fullest. And God says, hey, creator of life right here. I can tell you. There's a shortcut. Come on over. That's what he wants for us, to live life to the fullest. And so how do we do that? He says, don't be conformed. Instead, he tells us in the next line of our key verse, verse 2, he says, but be transformed. If something, when he commands us to be transformed, it means there must be a need for something to be changed. Something has to be transformed. Otherwise, he wouldn't say, be transformed. What is it that must be transformed? Remember in the past couple of weeks, we've talked about how you're made of a body and a soul, which is your mind and your will and your emotions. Go to that screen, the circles. And the spirit. And then when you trust in Jesus, everyone's made of this. When you put your trust in Jesus, God reciprocates by actually coming to live inside of you. It's just a supernatural reality that we don't understand in the physical realm necessarily. But in the spiritual realm, God comes into us and lives with our spirit. That's why being a Christian is not about doing everything right. Being a Christian is about now having power to live differently that you didn't have before. But here in this case, do you notice where your soul is? Your soul is stuck between your body and your spirit. That's a battleground. The Bible speaks of our body. It uses the word flesh a lot of the time. And it says that our flesh, it almost speaks of the flesh as if it's a real live person. It calls it a flesh nature. And our flesh nature wants what it wants. It treats it, the Bible speaks of it like a person who's beckoning us. Hey, come this way. Come do this thing. This is the way we ought to go. Our flesh nature, which is more than just our physical bodies, it's our desire for the things of the world and that inner longing to have what we see and have what feels good and to be the boss. And so our body, our flesh nature, is beckoning and pressing its will upon our mind, trying to win over the mind and our emotions and our will. But the Spirit of God is doing precisely the same thing, except we know that with the Spirit of God, we can not merely fight the battle, we can actually win the battle. See, let me tell you the situation we're all in. We're living bombarded by three things. First of all, the never-ending pull of our flesh nature, okay, is pulling us away to God. Also, we live in a world that has a lot of people in it who are pulled the same way, obviously, and many of whom want nothing to do with how the Creator of life says life is to be lived. And then third, we have a spiritual enemy who for a season, a finite season, has power to manipulate our flesh nature. Okay, do you remember that when the tsunami hit Japan a few years back? I heard on the news just a few days ago that the nuclear reactor that melted down is still like thousands of times more radioactive than we could stand. It's still hot, incredibly dangerous. People that go in there, you know, wear all that stuff, those suits, and yet they can only stay in like 47 minutes or something like that to do their work, and then they gotta come out. These three things, your flesh nature, the world, and the attack of our enemy, create a spiritually radioactive environment in which you constantly live. We're constantly being bombarded by this spiritual radioactivity. We can't live in that environment without being impacted by it. In fact, in Hebrews 3:13, God warns us of being hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. You know, if you're working in that Japanese nuclear reactor, man, you got to be mindful. You cannot, don't stay past 47 minutes, bro, because then you're going to start getting the effects of the radioactivity on you, the radiation on you, in you. Same thing. We cannot live in this world and only in this world without experiencing the hardening, the deceitfulness of sin, ways that are opposed to God. This is what we're up against. And if something doesn't change, if something isn't transformed while we're living in this world, we're talking about believers here, if something isn't transformed while we're living in this world, we will succumb to the deceitfulness of sin. We will begin to hear 1,000 different voices. We'll begin to make little bitty concessions. We'll begin to give in a little bit over here. And I always remind myself, and sometimes when we give in a little bit, we say, oh, it's not that bad because I'm doing all these other things right. Really? Just imagine, how much adultery would my wife tolerate in me? None. So when, remember, Satan's number one of his plans is to depersonalize this relationship with Jesus, which is inherently personal. If he can make us think we're just following rules and trying to measure up to some impartial judgment or whatever, then we'll make a little concession, but go, well, you know, I got more good things than bad things. But God says, no, 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 this is a relationship. How much lying and dishonesty would Debbie tolerate in me? None. So when we live in this spiritual radioactivity, subjected to this spiritual radiation, we begin to be impacted by it. And something has to be changed. And so the next line in verse 2 of Romans 12, go back to that, says, we are changed, transformed by renewing our mind. Listen, if I'm not hearing God, if I'm feeling distant from God, if I don't feel his presence, if I don't feel joy, and joy is a key thing to look for in your life. Because it's one of the evidences of the Spirit of God living in us. If I don't feel joy and I don't feel like I'm hearing from him, like 100% of the time, it's because I'm not doing this. I've neglected this. I've gotten really busy. I've mistaken God's priorities as if what he really wants is for me to do a whole lot of stuff for him. Well, he's God. What does he need doing that he can't do himself? No, he wants us to be with him, to know him. To be amazed by who he is. And if I don't experience that, it's because I'm not renewing my mind and I've gotten too busy into doing other things. Renewing our mind is essentially this. It is giving the Holy Spirit room to remind us of what's true. We got to be reminded, oh yeah, that's right. You know, like, I'd had a busy 9 days. You know, you ever have those weeks where everything's like back to back to back to back, you know, and then and every meeting you have is like, heavy or important. There's no easy meetings this week or something. You have those kind of days. I'm sure you do. And so when we were finally done with all our work for the week, and I had been busy and not spending a lot of time with Debbie because I had some evening things too, and then finally, last night, we're driving up I-10 with my best friend since elementary school. And I'm just like, oh, yeah. And we're sitting at this table eating dinner. I'm not going to tell you where. It's a secret. All right? And then you show up. And I was just like, I didn't tell her this, but I was like, wow. Yeah, this is, it's all okay. You know? There's someone, you know, she loves me unconditionally. She's faithful. She's going to stick with me. She's always going to be there, you know, as long as the Lord has us on this earth. And it was good to be reminded of what's true, you know. That's what the Holy Spirit has for you, for us, to remind you of what's true, to reacquaint us with his presence, to retune our spiritual ears to his voice, to realign us with his heart, to reacclimate us to his leadership and his power, that we can be, you are trustworthy. You see, we come out of the spiritual radiation that we experience over here, and the Holy Spirit just sprays us down, gets all that. And a lot of times in my mind, I'm thinking, God, we just take that thing and scrub off that stuff. Almost like, you know, like when you drive across the country and the bugs get on your windshield and you don't know it. You notice the first one or the second one. I don't want to be overly graphic. And you try the windshield and you forget there's no water in it. So it's just bug guts everywhere. See, I don't want to be graphic. I'd hate to have you think too clearly about that. And then you finally get home from your trip and sometimes you even forget. You get so used to looking through the bugs that even a week after you gotten home and you're just driving around town, you don't realize your car's a mess. And then finally your wife tells you, I'm just telling you how it goes in my house, hey, wash your car. And I wash it. I'm like, oh my gosh. I didn't realize what I was missing. There's so many metaphors and so many ways of describing this, but you get what I'm saying, don't you? You need that time in the presence of Jesus so that the Holy Spirit can remind you, hey, And I'm going to talk about this next week, so come. You get off the hook, Ms. Mary Taylor. But everybody else, you better be here. We're going to talk about what God says when he speaks, what you can always expect him to say. But you need to have that renewal. And he says, when you do this, okay? In this renewal thing, this renewal process, sometimes you're renewed. Sometimes I just turn on John Thurlow, you know, that artist that came to sing with us, or some other, Carrie Job. I'll just listen. I'll just, Lord, would you renew me through words of scripture and words of truth through somebody singing? Instead of picking up my phone to do ESPN or whatever, I'll just, Lord, would you renew my mind with that song? Sometimes I'll go to my park, you know, my park. I know the city thinks it's their park, but it's my park, Panther Creek. I told you all this before. I'll just get a chair and I'll go out there and sit in the middle of the floodplain out there and just be still before Jesus. Man, I get in the Word, and I don't just read the Bible for the sake of knowledge. I don't read my chapter of the day and move on. I may read my chapter of the day and then I wait and I say, Lord, man, thank you for your Word. You said it was, that you wanted to lead me beside still waters. That you wanted me to lie down in green pastures, Lord. Would you help me understand what that means? I reflect. I wait. I just give him room. Sometimes I call up a friend who I know will encourage me and hope that he's not having a bad week either, you know? And so, are you having a bad week? Yeah, I am, Kirk. Okay, talk to you later. Are you having a bad... Call somebody. I'm looking for one of my friends who's having a good week. Oh, you are? Okay, hey, I need help. And I let the Lord speak to them. I go to my life group, and I entrust myself to these people, some of whom I didn't know a month ago. But I've just found I'm going to entrust myself, God, because I know that they love you, and they're going to speak words of encouragement. Whether they know it or not, as they speak and discuss the Word and pray, it's going to renew my... There's lots of ways to renew your mind. But if you don't renew your mind, that radioactivity... It's going to harden your heart. You'll hear 1,000 voices saying, this is the way, this is the way. But the one voice we won't hear is God's. So if we do what the Bible says, what does he promise in the last part of that verse? You will be able to test and approve what God's will is. Do you see your name in there? You. The Bible... Just know this in the Greek, the Bible always means y'all when it says you. I'm just telling you, it's never the singular, it's always the plural. He means you. You will be able to. If you have never before, get excited. Go to God. God, you said I would be able. I want to know that. Bring me someone that can show me more, or I'm going to be in your Word. Reveal it to me. But ask him. I want to be able to discern your will, because when you can discern his will, then you have confidence to go, wait, I'm not going that way. I know it feels right, but no, I know that I know in my knower that God has said, this is the way, and I'm going to walk in it. And then he gives you power. You see, every command in the Bible is a promise for a better life. And every promise is accompanied by power. Okay? Every promise in the Bible, every command is a promise, and every promise is accompanied by power. Power to live through the Spirit and to live this life that he's talking about. So this week, you have a little card that's in your chair. Eric, can I have that card next to you? Because I didn't bring one. Pull out the card. We only have a few minutes. Every week of our Experiencing God series, I've invited you to do something with me to experience God more in the coming week. I asked you to fast with me every Monday through these weeks. Of course, now I'm extending my series a couple of extra weeks. So you're like, hey, we didn't sign up for that. Sorry, it was in the small print. I want you to keep fasting and praying if you're doing that with us. But here's what I want you to do, or invite you to do. Have a living conversation with the Spirit and the Word 5 days this week. How do you have a living conversation? We already talked about it, but on the table going out, there's a sheet that describes how to have a living conversation, how to put yourself in a place with the Word of God for the Holy Spirit to speak to you, okay? In your bulletin, that little thing you got when you came in, David, can I have that one? Thank you, sir. In the, right here, there is a there is a website. There's a link to a website. It describes how to have a living conversation with God. If you don't get the sheet, go to this. Use these scriptures. Experience God this week with me, okay? But carve out some time. Carve out maybe, start, if you've never done it before, carve out 15 minutes in the morning, in the evening, maybe some other time, and then continue to pray and fast on Mondays with me, and pray Ephesians 1:17. 1:17 is a cry to God, Lord, would you give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation that I might know you more? Oh, you're praying his words now. And when you pray his words, he says, I always deliver. So get ready. This week, you're going to experience God. I'm telling you, I'm not in it, but he's faithful and he will do it. Let's pray. Lord God, we give you room. We give you room. Just tell him in your heart, Lord, I give you room. We want to experience you the way that you have promised that we might. We want to walk in the power that you have for us. I want to know you, God, the way I see other people know you. So this week, Lord, I'm going to commit myself. If you agree, then just say it in your heart. Lord, I commit myself to renewing my mind this week, having that living conversation. I'm asking you to show up, be real to me. In Jesus' name, amen.